I just want to tie a few things together. I've got a very short talk, no more than 5 minutes. And then we're going to have a testimony, which I think will be really a great way to end our service. I was talking about news items, and there was another news item. I do get slightly irritated this time of year because you don't have any religious news at all, really, until it gets to Easter. And then somehow people have got to drum up something because it's obviously topical, and therefore it has to be in the news. And one of them was a news article on a survey that had recently been taken of 2,000 Christians. And the headline was 25% or a quarter of Christians don't believe in the resurrection. That was the now I suspect in all of that, the 2,000 were people that would call themselves Christians. They wouldn't necessarily be churchgoers. But of course, that was the headline that, you know, a quarter of people that call themselves Christians don't believe in the resurrection. And I was, you know, the reaction in me was, really? Really? Because it hit the logical part of my brain. I have got a logical part of my brain, and the logical part of my brain, just what is the point? Why would you be a Christian if you didn't believe in the resurrection? What is the point? So my logical part of my brain got, I just don't get that. Why would you bother? Why would you bother saying you're a Christian or believing part without believing all? And if you were a Christian, you believed in God, why would you not? What was the resurrection cause you a problem? Knowing that God can do anything, why would Jesus not follow through on something they said they would do? Why would they just fulfill a part? Because you can't, if you believe in God, you can't sort of, well, God couldn't do that. That's not something that God could do. So I was sort of thinking about that, and I was also reading in Corinthians, where actually Paul makes a similar point. Where he actually says, if you don't believe in the resurrection, your faith is futile. Your faith is futile, which it means, you know, what is the point? What is the point? If you don't believe in the resurrection, we have to believe in a risen Jesus. And I was thinking about, well, what wouldn't we have if Jesus hadn't rose from the dead? What wouldn't we have? And I suddenly thought, oh, I could go and do a study. I could do a theological, I could check all the theological points about what we couldn't have if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I just listened. And three things popped into my mind. Actually, four, but I restricted myself to three. Because apparently that's a very spiritual thing to do, to have a 3 points. So my 3 points are these. So the first point is that Jesus' resurrection demonstrates God's power. Death could not hold him. Death doesn't rule over Jesus. It didn't stop Jesus when he was performing miracles. Death wasn't a barrier for him. He was able to raise people from the dead. And that was a demonstration that God could do that too. God could do that too. So with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. So why would you not let and believe that God couldn't demonstrate his ultimate power by bringing Jesus from the grave back to life? So that was my first point. And I guess there is a slight second point to that. And that's about how we behave. So we will always limit ourselves. We have what I would call self-limiting behaviours or thinking. We think about stuff and then we say, well, I can't do that. And we limit ourselves. We do that all the time. I can't do that. I can't jump that high. I can't, if you're Dennis, I can't clean my teeth. I can't. But we have all these self-limiting beliefs and thinking. We do it all the time. But don't do that to God. Don't limit God. God can do anything. Everything is possible for God. You cannot limit what God can do. And we rely entirely on God's power, don't we? We pray for one another. We pray into situations. God is working on our behalf through his power. So the first point was around the resurrection demonstrating God's power. The second one was around the resurrection speaks to me of a fresh start. It speaks to me of a fresh start. Jesus died, he rose again, and he's not going to die again. He has a resurrection body. And as we get older, we look forward to our resurrection body, because the one we're currently inhabiting starts to, let's just say, go south. So, you know, it's a good thing to think about, our resurrection body, but it gives us a fresh start. So when I take the bread and the wine, as we've just done, my mind goes to the cross. That's where I go. That's where I go in my mind. I go to the cross. And that's the right place to go, because that's where Jesus dealt with my sin. That's where I go to remember the sacrifice. That's where I go to remember the demonstration of Jesus' love. That's which speaks to me the loudest. And it might do the same for you too. But he's not there. He's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He's with God. He sits at God's right hand and intercedes for us. He is active in heaven. And he provides me with a clean slate, a fresh start, a robe of righteousness. A robe of righteousness. I can put that cloth, that is put on me when I stand before God. There is nothing about me that is acceptable to God apart from the fact I've asked Jesus into my life and he's given me a robe of righteousness. And I can stand in God's presence. Let me say that again. I can stand in God's presence because of that robe that Jesus has given me, which is sinless. I can't do that on my own. I can't do that on my own. That's something that Jesus has done for me. So the resurrection reminds me, because it's about Jesus rising from the dead, it reminds me that I've had a fresh start in Jesus. And the last point is probably the most obvious point, and it's what effectively has been shouted through the whole of our service, that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Now, you can read your Bibles, you can understand God's message, you can feel God's love through reading what Jesus did for us. You can understand his teachings through reading his word. But God doesn't love us through the pages of a book. Jesus loves us through his heart, his living heart. So we can understand the scale and the nature of his wondrous love by reading the Bible. But my last point is, I know Jesus loves me because I know Jesus. I know Jesus loves me because I know Jesus, and he is alive. So we're going to have a testimony now, which I think will be a really good time to do that.
Nikki, where's Nikki? I know Nikki's very nervous, so we'll smile at her and reassure her. Because all I've asked Nikki to do is to tell us her story. You know, there's no rights and wrongs with this. It's her story. It's her testimony. So, Nikki, tell me, why and how did you become a Christian?
Well, I've had quite a long journey towards on my path to faith. When I first found God, I was in a very desperate place. I was very miserable, so unhappy, and it was just overwhelming, really, the peace that I didn't have. I had a lot of behaviour problems with regard to the way I acted, and because I had been brought up in the world and followed the world, I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. Everyone else was doing and living the way that I thought we had to live. And just got really desperate in 2006. I called out to God and he answered me. I was in the pit of alcoholism, and one day at a time, praise God, I keep my sobriety since 2006. Reading the big book, as we called it, daily, AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and joining a 12-step program was a way of getting my mind a bit more clearer around things. And had a lot of different struggles on the way through to getting to Jesus. My brother died. Had a brain aneurysm. My mum died. Loads of things. And I was blessed to be working in endoscopy. And I met Helen. And she was talking about school for kids. And I just thought, how lovely that these people are doing this with these people that they don't know, another country. I just really felt that I wanted to go to this church and have a real sense of what Helen had, this she looked like she had a real peace about her. And one day Helen said to me about Jesus, and I have obviously heard of Jesus, but I didn't know him as a personal saviour for me. And I can just express that when I came into this beautiful place, I was overwhelmed. It was like no other church that I'd ever been to before. The music, the upliftedness, the prayer, the real sense of God palpable in my chest, where I felt that Jesus was here, and I wanted that. So I'd done it many times, the salvation prayer, but that Epiphany Sunday, which it was, when I went home, I did it again, and something new just got rid of all the crud in my life. It just all went, and I just had a real sense of peace in my heart. And I know I've been reading about testimonies, I just say them, and it sounds really cheesy when you say that, but I can't express it any other way. I was trapped, desperate, full of sin. I didn't really love myself. And I've got that peace now. I have a personal relationship with Jesus. I speak to him all the time. I commune with him in my daily readings. And if I had to say one thing, is the importance of that communication in the scripture, really. If Jesus had to use it against the devil in the desert, how much more do we need to use the scripture, the word of God? And I feel I've just been totally set free.
That's fantastic. You know, it's been amazing what God has done for you, Nikki, out of such a difficult circumstance. I mean, what other ways do you feel, God has changed you since you've become a Christian?
In the way that I want to please God. Mm. When I first started reading the Bible, I didn't start reading the Bible straight away. I just started reading the daily UCB notes, and then maybe the Bible attached to that. But as I got into the Word, I recognised that was healing my mind. And I see it as like taking my blood pressure tablets on the morning. I read the Bible, I get into the Word, I communicate with God. I ask him to direct my day. I ask him for a sober day, always. And praise God, he gives me a sober day. Fantastic. Still got struggles. There's still struggles there. But Jesus makes it so much easier for me to cope with things. And I need this church. This church is what gets me to praise with all the people that feel the same way as I do, and that is so important, because when you get out in the world, it is tough. And they say, you've got the narrow path and the wide path, but God really put it on my heart this morning that the narrow path goes through the wide path. You have to see all this and still be Christ-like. It is difficult, but it is just so rewarding, the peace that you would get.
Nikki, that's absolutely fantastic. Is there anything else you want to say that you've prepared? I know it's like when you prepare something, you miss it. Oh, why didn't I say that? So I'm going to give you a chance. Is there anything else you want to say?
I think I'd like to read a bit of scripture.
Yeah, you do that.
Okay.
We want to hear what you've got, what God's put on your heart.
Yeah. I think I do need to emphasise again that the struggles don't just disappear. But with Jesus, you do get the peace and confidence and that awesome power from God to change your life. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test, approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will. I believe that God's will for every believer in Jesus is to be a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ. On the cross, Jesus died for my sin, my badness. I was guilty. Jesus paid for the guilt. My chains fell off. My burden was lifted and the prison door flew open. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Let's give her a round of applause. You know, Nikki, she was so nervous when she got into the... I don't over-embarrass you here, Nikki, but when Nikki arrived this morning, she just burst into tears. She said, I just don't know how I can do this, you know, because she was so nervous. And it is hard sometimes to come at the front and tell your story, but I wouldn't have missed this for the world, you know, to hear someone's story, to hear how, you know, Jesus has just taken hold of Nikki and transformed her. And he has transformed you, Nikki, hasn't he? And you know that, you know that, and that's what you've communicated today. You know, he's changed you and he's lifted you up and he's made your life better. And you go from sober day to sober day to sober day, which is a miracle, isn't it? Absolute miracle. So we just thank God for what God has done in Nikki. And you know what God has done in Nikki, God can do for every one of us, you know, whether we've never been walking with God or whether we're walking with God and struggling. You know, it's the same Jesus. You know, if we give our lives over to him, he can help us overcome all things, as Rich was saying earlier. Brilliant.